even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
And Brendan Levi.
I didn't know we're, you were going to do a thing, because I'm back. I thought maybe you would do Brendan and then me and be like a surprise. And then you put the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme over me coming back for some reason. Something like that.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2006 Disney remake, The Shaggy Dog, starring Tim Allen, Kristen Davis, Danny Glover, and Robert Downey Jr., where a lawyer struggling to find time for his family is bitten by an ancient sacred dog and begins to transform into a dog himself. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So we're back, baby. It's been a while. What's been going on, guys?
You know, some casual maternity leave.
How does it feel being back in the chair?
I definitely had to like relearn how to use this computer program and dust off the microphone and all the rest. So a bit rusty.
Lovely to have you back, and Yay. Lovely to see you both, because it's even been a while since Brendan and I have been on an episode, so I've definitely gotten lots of emails and messages saying, like, when are you guys coming back? So a few worried...
Are you just saying
I actually have. I know I have. So it's lovely that people actually... you know, like seeing us on their feed and we're worried we weren't going to come back. So we also got some lovely emails, but I'll read them on another episode because there's some good film suggestions there, which we love getting. So keep them coming. But I don't know if you guys know at home, but this is our 100th SWAT film that we're reviewing today. So I needed to choose something special.
I need a drink.
Yeah, we've watched 100 of these, guys. Like, can you believe it? Can you actually believe it? 100.
Yeah, I can believe it. Like, I mean, I've been away for a little while, but the minute I started watching it, watching this film, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this song. <And back. laughs>
The things we do and to be friends with Paul.
Yeah. It's a steep price to pay. I understand this.
If you're listening to this, he has a gun pointed at our head. He makes us through this.
Well, let's get into it before I pull the trigger. onto 2006's remake of The Shaggy Dog. This iteration of the story was made 47 years after the original. And 30 years after its sequel, The Shaggy DA.
I thought you were going to say 47 years ago, and I was like, you know the way it, like, blows your mind that you think that you're still in the 90s, and you, like, when you calculate the years, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, it wasn't that long ago, was it? Like, 2023. Okay. I'm all right. Yeah. I've recovered. I feel that old. But.
It was 30 years ago that the sequel, Shaggy DA, came out, and 47 years ago the original came out. So, did 47 years of advancement in film technology and a production budget that was literally 50 times larger than the original.
Do you account for inflation?
Not accounting for inflation. So the original cost $1 million. This cost $50 million to make.
Okay, so can we just... The original is when the dog punched the guy?
No, that's the sequel. The original was like the black and white one with Wilby.
But didn't the dog punch a guy in that too?
I don't remember that happening. He drove a car in the original.
That's right.
And in the sequel, he punched a guy in the face and went roller skating.
Dog swaps.
So my question, did all those advancements and increase in budget result in a better movie? Lucy.
Not really. I mean, did it?
We are deep in the uncanny valley on this one.
Yeah, I give me those like animatronics and puppet work from the original any day.
Yeah, I just wanted the puppet and the punching, the dog punching.
Yeah. The first shot we see of the dog in this film, he's meditating in a monastery with his arms like
praying hands, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so obvious like that it's a real dog with CGI praying hands in front. And I was just like, oh, this is ugly. Like, obviously, the film starts, like, in a lot more epic manner. I was going to say,
the actual, like, opening sequence is actually really well shot and stuff. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a helicopter, special forces people, like, raiding a Tibetan monastery, like... Not where I expected this from the bazaar and stuff like that. It goes straight into it as well.
It's like you just like land there. You're like, what? That's very, it's very jarring for the start of the movie to be like that.
Yeah, it kind of actually reminded me a bit of the opening of The Hot Chick, how that opened like in a in an ancient temple.
Oh, I want to watch that instead of this.
Yeah.
Can we just do another episode on that?
I'm more than happy to rewatch that. I have to say, this film is hot garbage. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, and for such a cut, like a big cast.
This is like wall to wall.
Totally. Yeah, it was really bad.
Brendan, are you going to be the sole defender of this film or do you agree?
It was great. But there were times I laughed. I'll say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I was stone faced. What made you laugh?
At the very start, when he's like, his daughter's like giving him shit for being the DA or trying to be the DA, and of a guy who like lit a building on fire, and I can't remember what she said.
Never mind. A memorable line.
Good story, Brendan. Yeah.
If you're gonna do this, you need to back up your points.
Wait, where's my notes? Let me have a look at my notes.
You're like laughed 3 minutes in.
Something about grandma's cooking. It was a great line, I swear.
I think there's two main problems with this film. Tim
Allen.
Tim Allen is a repellent screen presence. Like, I hated him. I hated his performance and I hated his character, the way it was written, like everything about that. And he's the main character. And I just didn't like, if he got hit by a bus in the first act, I wouldn't have been sad in any way. I was kind of hoping for it.
Bad dads are such a trope in these movies, aren't they? It's always about how like the dads don't spend enough time with their children and then they swap and they find out that out. It's funny how that's never a thing with mothers, is it?
The bad mother turns into a dog.
Or it's never that mum never spends enough time with me. It's like, no, she's the one that's always there.
Spends
like,
too much time with me.
Yeah, exactly.
It almost feels like an offshoot of like the misogyny swaps that we've watched, like that a man needs to learn to be a woman in order to realize that women are human beings. And there's this other thing, is like a man must transform into a creature in order to learn that his he should be spending time with his family.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
should be pretty like, basic, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I think that's the main problem. And then the CGI stuff is just really awful to look at. Like the CGI, Tim, actually,
Robert Downey Jr.'s hair is the worst thing about this movie, though.
No, the worst. That, I mean, that is awful. The worst thing about this film is Tim Allen's tongue and all the things that happen around it.
Okay, I just have to ask, is Tim Allen, like, cancelled? You've been very mean to him. Like, do we not like him? Was there, like, a tool time thing that was bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the latest Tim Allen tidbit that I've heard is in the Pamela Anderson autobiography.
Yes, she said
when she was on the set, he like flashed her without her consent.
On her first day, I think, something like
on
that.
On her first day, yeah. She was just like walking the hallways and then he just jumped out in a robe and then flashed his dick at her. And then he's denied it.
Okay.
So I'm going to cancel for that. That's fine.
Because I wrote down this thing about how like Paul's going to make us talk shit on Tim Allen and like review his hotness. And there is a lot of like naked caged Tim Allen in this movie.
Yeah.
And I remember this joke that Ricky Gervais made at one of the award ceremonies. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen came out together because they're Buzz and Woody.
Yeah.
And the joke was like, you know, here's 5 million time Academy Award nominee, Tom Hanks, blah, 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 blah. And Tim Allen. And Tim Allen just looked so sad. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be mean to Tim Allen. Like, he's already suffered enough. But if he did that to Pamela Anderson and if he's cancelled, then, you know, let's go ham.
He was also he used to be a drug dealer as well.
What?
So there's that. Yeah. Before he was famous, he was a drug dealer. It's true. Well, you can Google it.
Drug dealers aren't necessarily inherently bad people.
Well, I choose to think he was like pushing heroin on children. But Tim Allen's tongue, there's so much tongue stuff in this film. Like,
oh, no, I just wrote, Disney.
It was Disney, yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I feel like they're doing these hiding in plain sight things. I feel like there was weird tongue stuff and he was naked in a cage a lot. I just feel like it's like the way on that show with Ariana Grande when they were all teenagers.
Oh, with like the Nickelodeon.
Their feet were always in it. Like the creator obviously had a thing for feet. I just feel like there's just a thing like what's going on with these?
Yeah, there was a lot of butt sniffing. There was...
What was the dog movie that everyone was like, this is about?
Show Dogs?
Yeah. Was that the Will as well?
No, that wasn't.
No?
Yeah.
But that's just a like Hollywood thing in general.
I feel like all exactly. Kids. Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, we laugh, but that is real. That's upsetting.
Yeah. Like,
Try to make a joke now.
I was going to say, like, the scene where his daughter's, like, scratching behind his ear and he's really enjoying it, it just made me feel like, oh, this is weird.
Well, there's another scene where he's, like, literally licking his daughter's face, like, when he's a dog.
As a dog, everyone. It's just...
But still, it's still him. It's still him and he's still licking his daughter's face. It's like...
But that's like a dog's kiss, you know? Like kissing your dog.
No.
Sure.
This film made me uncomfortable, is what I'm trying to say. Like, there's scenes like when he was like slurping his coffee by like slurping it out of the cup. That was gross.
Yes.
When his tongue was like dropping out, like it gets replaced with like a CGI tongue and he's like putting it
rolling it up into his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. It just made me feel ick. It was like gross.
Yes,
it wasn't
it was.
Funny. It was just, yeah, I don't know. Like 2006 must have been a
so
different
just
time.
So, Paul hates tongues. No
tongue
stuff. I hate stuff
certain
for Paul.
Tongues.
But, Paul, I feel like I've seen you being licked by a dog. For some reason,
yeah, the dog,
in my mind, Paul's been licked by a dog.
But if that dog had a human soul in it, it would change the whole dynamic of that interaction.
I actually think it would be better. Like, I think getting licked by a dog is disgusting. Only if it was like, I don't know, like Adrian turned into a dog and then was licking my face, you know.
Yeah.
What if he was like your dad?
No. I draw the line.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it was Tom Hanks and the dog, lick me. If it's Tim Allen and the dog, don't lick me.
I think we should stay on this topic.
Yeah, the whole thing just like, I feel like, why was Robert Downey Jr. in this movie so underutilized?
He gave the dog performance of a lifetime. I think he should have been the star.
Like, well, he should have been the person. Yeah, he should have been the person to swap into
like
the dog.
Like when he jumped across that courtroom.
Tidbit at the end. Yes.
Yeah.
Completely. I feel like he knew what he was in. Or like, why did he have to be in this movie?
That was the other question I wrote down is like, Paul, where is this in the timeline?
Community service. Yeah.
Yes. This community service. Yeah. This is 3 years pre-Iron Man. So this is him earning
the public's trust back kind of thing.
Yeah. This is like pre-Iron Man, pre-Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Like, it was around that time. So
before he launched back into...
Because before Iron Man, he was kind of in that middling part of his career. And then obviously that just put him in the stratosphere again.
I just wrote down, it just really made me miss Heart and Souls. Like,
yeah,
give me the good swap movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. This is our third.
Oh my god, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of like repeat people in this film. Like, who else was there? There was Joel David Moore was the guy in The Pound. He's in the Avatar movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there was so, and I feel Danny Glover, wasn't he in something that we've done?
Yes, he was. What was that?
I can't even remember now, but I'm sure he was in something. and I'm shocked that Kristen Davis hasn't.
Yeah, because one of us tenuously recommended Be Kind Rewind because of Danny Glover. I'm sure he was in something.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. So he was in Jumanji. He was in the Jumanji.
Oh,
movies.
There you go. Yes.
Why hasn't anyone put Kristen Davis in a swap film yet? I don't understand that. Surely that's where her career is at.
So when did Sex and the City end the first time? Was it 2005?
I think it was, I think it was like the year before this.
Yeah.
It was 2 years before this.
She's like, what am I going to do? I need a paycheck. I've got a huge mortgage on an amazing apartment in New York. Like, yeah. I love as well, like, the dad, there's just countless nights where he can't be accounted for and nobody's really that worried. They're just like, oh, you know, dad, he's an asshole. It's like, where do you think your dad is?
Yeah, and like, so he, like, makes plans with her, disappears, and then rocks up naked and she has very few questions.
Yeah.
Like, what? She's like,
is their marriage like when the cameras aren't there? Do you know what I mean?
I want to play a little devil's advocate.
Yeah.
All right, wait. So his job is he trying to become a DA? So he's not technically a shaggy DA because there's still a sequel to be made.
His job seems serious.
Like, he seems to have a serious job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a firefighter. He's not like, you know, stopping buildings from getting burnt down. But yeah. I still feel like, oh, actually he is in this because it's a trial to do with a building.
Arson,
yeah. Which, by the way, this entire court case is so like irrelevant to everything that goes on in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Like, Kojak gets put on trial and then like the judge is like, yeah, you proved he's a dog, but this is an arson case. What the fuck's going on?
It's like, strike that from your record. Irrelevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like maybe he's like, I don't know, DA for a city sounds like a big, stressful job. You might not come home every night kind of thing. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Was that acceptable within your marriage? You're just not there just for swaths of time? And Katrina's like, whatever.
Well, that's why I'm a barista. that's why I'm unsuccessful, because I'm a good husband.
The scene that got me the most was, say, they organize an anniversary dinner. He doesn't show up. He does show up as a dog with flowers in his mouth.
Where did he get the flowers?
So that's who knows?
The biggest question.
But then, she's driving home with the dog in tears about her failing marriage. Then the next morning she wakes up. He's put a note on her pillow that says, "I'll explain everything later," and then puts "I love you" in petals, like rose petals, on the bed. And she looks fucking overjoyed. She looks overjoyed at this. Like, shouldn't that be like every alarm bell you could ever fucking think of?
This is what men do to you. They like starve you for so long that they feed you a crumb and it's like the creepiest crumb in the world. And you're like, oh, the light's shining on me once again.
And yeah, then at the end, like, when like everything's solved and that it's all out there, that it's like, oh, it's fixed with my son, it's fixed with my daughter, and hey, baby, we're going to Hawaii now. It should have been like, and you know what? We're going to marriage counseling. Not Hawaii.
Meanwhile, they never solve it at the end, so he's still going to turn into a dog periodically.
Yeah,
but that's what saved their relationship.
Like, what? That doesn't work.
They seem overjoyed by that fact. That's what like fixed everything. Like, yikes. years of neglect, I could turn into a dog.
Well, we're all fixed.
This film, like, I remember us having problems with the original film, but like, I feel like they were a lot more thought through than this. This was just.
Yes.
This is just
real
messy.
Slapdash, yeah.
And whoever was writing this was like, we've got to explain everything through dialogue. Like, make sure people understand, because like no one's going to feel like their relationship's repaired. We need them to say it is, and we need
and like the whole thing with the son wanting to be in the musical instead of playing football, and like it was just all felt so underbaked, and like that they've just taken plots out of other movies and just shoved them in this as well.
And also, we heard his son sing and he was awful.
Yeah, and the dad was like, yeah, good one, son.
So, oh, wow. He cut. He's,
I mean,
like,
how
flat.
Hard would it have been to get a kid that could sing or even
yes,
just dub it?
That's what I thought. Who's this kid? Because I saw him in, like, he was in that movie with Bruce Willis.
He's 2.5 men, isn't he?
No, that's another kid.
That's another,
oh, wow.
Like, generic,
I mush them together.
Bold face.
So
this is
Abigail.
Is Abigail Breslin's brother, which I found out just. Yeah. Doing the Googles for this movie.
Wait, what? Yeah, who is? And who's Abigail Spencer?
Breslin. You know, Little Miss Sunshine. And Zombieland.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh. Yeah.
They look very similar.
And Scream Queens.
Yeah,
I think he had a moment because he was also in the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen as well.
Which
so they must have
is
had some
that
kind
a body swap?
Going. Well, you know, you're not the first person in the last couple of weeks to ask me that. I'm not going to count it. Because
really, you would count anything else.
Yeah, I reckon it is. I reckon that's a Christmas special episode.
It's
for
just
Shell.
It's just weight gain. Like, if that's the case, I'm body swapping every fucking second week. Like,
he gets a beard as well.
He does.
It's a beard and
it's
a gut.
Basically, the Shaggy Dog.
It's not wrong.
Well, this is my other question. The Santa Claus movies are on Disney Plus, but somehow, for some reason, this isn't. Like,
if Pretty Cool
is
a body swap movie, the Santa Claus is a body swap movie. If that fucking Sarah Michelle Gellar movie was a body swap movie, then this is a body swap movie.
Amen.
Okay, we'll watch the Santa Claus.
Actually, no, strike that from the record. I don't want to watch that movie.
We'll have to watch all five.
Nah, if we're gonna watch one, we'll have
the
to
Martin
watch
Short one?
Number three, the Martin yes. Short one, because it has a Hilary Duff song on the soundtrack.
So. And it's got Martin
there
Short.
It is. I know, I love Martin Short.
I was more concerned about the case. Should he have gone to jail? What do you guys think? Lucy, you're an
RDJ.
Advocate for animals.
Mm-hmm.
This is it a teacher who's like
yeah, so the,
spun
so
all the kids
teacher,
around?
Yeah, the school teacher has apparently, well, it's been accused of setting alight a research facility.
Suspiciously close relationships with his students.
That's what I was just about to say. Here's another Disney in plain sight thing. I feel like it's like she kind of is almost referring to him on a first name basis, that child.
Yeah.
And just like, he told me that he's innocent. It's like, when did he tell you that? And you guys shouldn't be having conversations like that.
Classic
yes.
Pickens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I don't understand about the whole trial, though, is, okay, so he's being accused of lighting this place on fire.
Like you said, Tim Allen is a dog, so the end.
He's not denying it. He's saying, yeah, but there's, like, snake dogs inside. And therefore, everyone can die.
No, he says in the trial, I didn't... on fire.
I didn't,
but
really.
There are snake things. He does say straight out, he denies setting it on fire. So who set it on fire?
And yes. Why didn't
we
dog,
never got the answer.
The shaggy DA crack this case rather than save his marriage? That would have been a far more interesting film.
It could have been like a gritty like mockumentary style thing.
Yeah, it could have been like The Wire with a dog losing his family to his job.
Yeah, the case makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just so overly complicated. Like, the original had, like, a magical, like, necklace or something that caused it. It was just so cut and dry. And this has, like, a mystical dog.
A magic dog from Tibet. That's
a magic
Tibet.
Dog from Tibet.
Tibet.
But a magical Tibetan dog. But then...
How did they find it? Like, what? How did they... I just feel like you just get dropped in on the start of
how
that
do you
movie.
Look at yeah how do you look at an 80-year-old picture of a dog and go, well, clearly this dog is a thousand years old. Yeah.
And it's like, and then when they check the dog, they're like, this dog's actually over 300 years old. It's like, again, how did you know? They didn't cut it
from
open and count the rings. Like, what, how do they know that?
Yeah. So like, the thing I was thinking is, like, yeah, we got a mystical
magic
dog,
dog,
but then
now we got
but
science.
Then it's all about science, like about like extracting the dog's DNA and like.
And now
you know,
I have something important to say about this, which is irrelevant completely. But I think, you know, in movies, you know, in movies, when there is like some kind of serum or something, they have those really gnarly needles that look like scissors.
Like, yeah.
Do
yes.
they? Really exist, or is this like in CSI where it's like the picture's blurry and then they enhance it, which is not real technology, but we've just like accepted that it's real?
They're for flair. Like, I feel like if you go to like a
do
high
they
end
exist?
Place, you know, they want to have the sexy needles on display.
Why did they used to exist?
No, I feel like this is like an early iteration of what a needle looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's like
and
if you still want it to be
streamlined,
you use these ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like
that's
vintage.
Why they keep them around because those two scientists were like sadists.
Okay, yeah, I wrote like a whole paragraph about that needle. There's not a lot to really pick about this movie.
I have a bit to say about the scientists when we get to Hot or Not.
Okay. Okay. So there's a very real and pretty common fetish about like puppy play. Have you guys? Are you guys familiar with puppy play?
I mean, no.
I can't say that. Like, I'm about to get so schooled.
It's very prevalent in like gay fetish communities where so there'll usually be like a puppy. So there'll usually be a master, and then he has a whole bunch of puppies that he like takes care of, which are like grown men in like masks, like puppy masks.
Can we just leave
like
animals out
masks?
Of this? Leave dogs out of that. That's just like, just do BDSM stuff. Like, just leave the dogs out of it.
But all those scenes of like Tim Allen running around on all fours, I was just thinking like, this would probably be a pretty popular film in that community.
Hiding in plain sight, my friend. Whoever wrote this is doing it all intentionally.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the chase scene.
Well, okay, so the chase scene, this is what I want to talk about. It's set to Baha Men's Who Let the Dogs Out. Right?
I think they heard this song and they were like, we need to make a movie.
But the thing is, like, several children's movies have used
yeah,
this
who was
song
the first?
At this point.
Where did that movie come into our lives?
The song was popular in its own right, and then once it became popular, then it started getting used in movies. But the thing is, like, if you listen to the lyrics of that song, it's not about dogs. It's about ugly women going out to the town and the men singing the song being disgusted by horrible looking women. And for some reason, all these children movies have decided to adopt this song and put it in all these movies. Like,
fucking Disney, man.
It's the same with Semi-Charmed Life. Like, those lyrics are, like, filthy.
I mean, yeah,
parts.
I've never heard Semi-Charmed Kind of Life in a movie, kids movie, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, you definitely used to tap your toe to it when you were young, and then you find out it was about drug use and
In Australia, there was a kid show called The Big Arvo, and it was like the opening sequence.
We're gonna have to. I love cutting it out. Can't use that,
inside you.
Yeah, and then I bumped again, and then I bumped again. Yeah. There's a cool podcast that's called like 90 Songs That Explain the 90s, something like that. Do either of you listen to that?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, and there is an episode on that song. It's a really good podcast.
Well, maybe we should make a podcast about Baham and Who Let the Dogs Out. But yeah, so. In that chase sequence as well, I guess the big gag of the film, the one they used in all the trailers, where he bumps into an old grandma and launches her into the air and she lands in a tree. Did you guys find
that
funny?
That's the second thing I laughed.
No, I didn't laugh. I'm a very tired, busy woman. You need to get in, get the laughs, and get out. And this did not do it for me.
He literally hit an old woman so hard she flew into a tree.
I'd love to see that. I love that you guys are laughing at this. That's so dumb. It would have been like some ripped dude, I'm sure, but had to like dress up in granny costume and makeup. Yeah.
Some harness in Caribbean to fly him to the moon.
Yeah.
Actually, I did laugh once in this film thinking about it, right in the last scene when they're in Hawaii and you see the dog riding a wave on a surfboard in the distance and the special effects are so fucking
bad.
Terrible.
I'm like, how much money did they put into this one scene? That's completely irrelevant.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Did I have a fever dream or did Tim Allen say to infinity and beyond in this movie?
100%
he
did,
absolutely did.
What?
Absolutely.
See the literal bar. Fuck.
Yeah, that made me feel sick.
Happened? I feel like I was getting pretty tired and that like completely ripped me back out again. I'd be like, surely that didn't happen. How's that loud?
The producer took him aside and went, look, there's only one fucking reason you're here. Say the line.
And also in that scene, there's a product placement for a Norah Jones CD.
Yes, there was.
That was so weird.
And for some reason, I feel like low-carb Kellogg cereal right now.
Nobody feels like that after seeing him eat it, like, with his head in the bowl. That was disgusting.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
But I think the most bizarre icing on the cake to this film was the end credits song sung by Akon describing the plot of the film.
I switched off. I didn't listen to this. As soon as I saw that freeze frame, I'm like,
yeah, same.
The fuck out of here.
Can you recap it though, Paul? Just do a bit of the song for us.
Okay, I'll look up the lyrics. So here's my dramatic reading of Big Dog by Akon. Feeling like a big dog, woof, hey. Feeling like a big dog, woof, hey. Feeling like a big dog. Ever since I got bitten by my dog, things changed. Everything is different and my life is not the same. I must have been infected when he bit me on the hand. And now I understand why I'm feeling like a big dog.
Wow.
Feeling that like
really
a big dog.
Is spelling it out for you, yeah.
That is like the dialogue of the film.
Why is it this like a classic that we still listen to today? I don't understand.
We can bring it back. We can bring it back.
Objection, Your Honor. It has never been a step.
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas. Did you just
growl at opposing counsel.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Lucy.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
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 Everyone. Beautiful in their own way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've missed it.
Yeah, good work on not forgetting lyrics.
I wrote that song. I'll have you know, Paul, where's my royalties?
If we had royalties, I'd give them to you. All right, so let's start with Kristen Davis as Rebecca the wife. Hot or not?
Oh, come on. Total Betty. She's...
Betty, yeah. That should be her name, eh?
she's Charlotte, man. She's hot, and you know she's freaking the best. So good for her. She'll always be Charlotte to me.
Yeah, I think this is like peak hotness for Kristen Davis. Like she was looking great here.
And look, if on the chance that she hears it, which I highly doubt, but peak hotness, she's still a very beautiful woman, but.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll be the judge of that. Let me just...
so you giving her a heart, Redden?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes, good way. Robert Downey Jr., does he get a triple heart?
Look, he does. Like, I kind of, you know, he can get it, but his hair was very bad. And there were some very bad glasses. I could even be changing my mind. And he was a very evil character.
But the evilness, I think it was a plus because he was actively trying to harm Tim Allen, which I'm going to give him a big plus for.
And I mean, I just feel like...
Literally, like, destroying and harming animals might be a con for you, Lucy.
But I just feel like in real life, Robert Downey Jr. is like, had this... torrid past, but like he's come good, and like that's very attractive. It's like the bad boy with a heart of gold. I love that.
You would have dated Trey, I reckon, because he, like, you know, he was like this activist, but he was like a nice guy and he had a car.
Oh my god, was I was sick. In Sex and the City Land, and I thought you meant Trey as in Charlotte's ex-husband, who was awful, Kyle MacLachlan. Paul, are you going with me on this? Is that where your mind went? Yes. And I would not date Trey. He was a loser. but yeah, probably. No, I mean, I definitely dated that guy in high school.
This movie had sex with a daughter.
That's many vegan boyfriends. That's so funny. Yes.
Yeah. The Trey in this film, I would friend, definitely. He seemed like a nice
person.
He
did seem like a nice chap.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I looked up his Instagram and he has...
Was that January 6th? What?
He has gotten so fucking hot. Like Trey in his 30s is like a 10. So definite glow up there.
Can I just ask, is Trey a real name? Is this like, you know, the way Americans say Craig? And that's how they say it. Is Trey a real name? What is Trey?
Like Trey Parker, who made South Park, is a Trey.
Yeah, but I mean, like, have you ever met a Trey, an Australian Trey?
Not an Australian Trey, no. Because I think the way we say
it's
Trey.
Weird, right?
Hey, Trey. Pass that Trey.
Trey, yeah. Trey. Nah.
I got a new Trey top on my ute. Why am I doing an Australian accent?
When you Australian. Are Australian.
If there's anyone in, like, anyone listening who's named Trey, I'm sorry, but also your name's shit.
But also, if anyone is named a Treyu, of Neverending Story fame also get in contact with us. What's your life like? You must have really cool parents.
Absolutely.
Maybe all people called Trey are actually called a Treyu, and it's just
or maybe
a nickname.
All people whose names start with whose names are Trey should put an A in front of it, so it sounds cooler.
Definitely, as a kid, so I thought the name boy. Was a trail. I heard that wrong my entire like pre-adolescence. So there you go.
So
I really derailed us this time.
So we've done two hots. Yeah, we haven't even finished Robert Downey Jr.
No, we've done two hots and a friend. So,
wait, so
we're
going to okay. say when is Robert Downey? Yeah. Is he getting the triple?
Yes, Robert Downey, I'm giving you a hot. I'm going to give you a hot. Yeah, as I said, he was actively trying to harm Tim Allen, so I'm giving you a hot. You give him a hot, Brennan?
No, but I think I'm
two outweigh
it, so
yours,
okay.
So he gets the triple hot. So yeah. Well done, Robert Downey. Is he the new Melora, like, or is he equal to Melora Hardin?
All
I can't
Melora
remember
had to do, all he had to do to get the award was be hot in two movies, wasn't it? It was the double
yeah.
hot.
Oh, yeah. So so he's a triple hot. So, like, I think he might be our most decorated hot person at
no,
this point.
No, someone else has been had the triple. I can't remember who it is. We need to start, like, keeping stats proper.
Yeah. And,
our
yeah,
fans need to work absolutely harder for us.
Yeah. Yes, please, fans.
Same listeners. It's bad.
All right, so Craig Kilborn as the neighbor Baxter.
Am I supposed to remember what this person looked like?
Oh, the neighbor.
Did they
who
have
died?
Yeah.
He's the guy who died yeah in the car crash because Tim Allen.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, he was awful.
His dog got splattered on a windscreen.
That guy was awful.
He's tall and ginger though, so I have to give him a hot. Also,
did
like,
you really
he's,
think
he's
he was hot?
Like, I wouldn't throw him out of bed. But also, like, he's in, like, he's the bad guy in Old School, like the Vince Vaughn movie,
like
Old
the preppy
School. Yeah.
I assume it was
but
preppies.
Yeah.
Because it's a college
but, for some reason, I remember thinking that he was in Queens of the Stone Age. And I was like,
he
when he showed
like
up
Josh,
in this film.
He did look like Josh yeah Bond, didn't he?
Yeah, so when I saw him in this film, it's a Queens of the Stone Age guy. And then I was looking him up on IMDb, and it's like, he's totally different. He was like the host of The Daily Show.
What was his Instagram
so
like?
I didn't look him up. I only looked up Trey because his IMDb picture was hot. So then I was like, he must be hot now. And
you're
I was
following
right
him, are you? You've already DM'd him about this.
I have. I haven't DM'd him, but I definitely followed.
I know how you work, young man.
I just lurk from the shadows.
All right, let's do a couple of friends or foes, and then we'll go to the main event. So, Xena Grey as Carly the daughter, friend or foe?
Look, I have been a teenage girl. She was insufferable. You're ruining my life. Like, I've been a teenage girl, so I mean, I feel bad saying it, but no, she's still gonna be my friend.
She was literally rocked up to school with a shirt denouncing her,
her
own
father.
With,
yeah, it
with
seemed
a picture
to be
actually
with a
bad.
Dramatic.
Yeah, I'm gonna give her a foe. I wouldn't be friends with her. And then Spencer Breslin as Josh. I'm going to come out and say that I deeply related to Josh. I know the coming out journey he's about to be on. I too was that person that hated sports in school and that like the coach and parents would yell out because I was so shit in the game. So I deeply related to him in that football scene.
And look, all I ever wanted to do, truly, when I was young, I just wanted to be in musicals, but I wasn't brave enough. So, yeah. I'd be friends with him because I would have wanted to be, like, the Rizzo to his Kinnicky. I don't know. What part was he trying out for, Danny?
Yeah, I feel like he was trying to be Danny.
Because apparently he's
the
best.
I've got news for him.
Right?
You know the guy in Greece who's like one of the other Greaser guys?
Yeah.
And he was literally 40 years old. Like yeah, a teenager. I love those. As soon as I started saying, you knew what I was talking about. But he could be that guy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Anything we want to say if he's listening?
I mean, the guy from Grease, the original guy.
All right. So the main event. Here we go. Tim Allen as Dave Tim Douglas. Allen.
Yeah. Or no.
Like I said, you know, I always felt really bad. I didn't want to be mean about Tim Allen because of that Ricky Gervais joke, because I hate Ricky Gervais so much. But yeah, he's cancelled in many other ways. Leave Pamela alone, and I don't need to see a naked, caged Tim Allen multiple times wagging his tongue around. So he's getting a no from me, baby.
So you're away for this episode, Lizzie, but while you're away, we reviewed a film called Hunk, which was about like the sexiest man imaginable. And I think that character and this character were equally as shirtless, which is a travesty.
And this is a Disney movie.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. Like, just let him transform with some clothes on.
Yeah,
like, I feel like shot him like I would want to be shot. It's like
pretty kind, and they gave him a spray tan to give him a little glow up.
Everything is like chest up. It's never like you get like one body shot.
His best quadrant.
Welcome back, Lucy.
Yeah. What have I been doing all these?
Wait. I wanted to degrade the scientists.
Okay. Yes. Please tell us your opinion on the two scientists.
Well, because like I feel like there's so often it's weird when there's like a super hot babe as a scientist.
Excuse me. Remember in Pretty Cool where there was a literal porn star scientist?
And it wasn't quite believable. Same with Assassin 33 AD, that film. Like, there's someone who feels like a porn star in a Christian film. But this woman, I was like constantly looking at her going like, I feel like she was like really on the cusp of like being because she was an attractive woman. But I was like, I feel like she's almost unattractive enough that she gets away playing a scientist. Your thoughts?
Okay. Look, maybe so I don't know. I'm just gonna give her a heart.
Those two were so corrupt. They were like, "This is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this." And then it was like, "We'll give you money." It's like, "Okay, that's fun."
Once again, also in hidden dumb stuff, like she was like, "You've been a naughty dog," and then she gets out the cattle prod and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, looking at her IMDb. 2005, she starred in Must Love Dogs, and then she followed it up with The Shaggy Dogs.
She got pigeonholed.
Yeah.
My bio line on Tinder was must love dogs. It wasn't really. It was in the sky with diamonds, because, it's got your picture and your name.
Oh, because you're Lucy.
And you're Lucy.
I would have swiped
I was really thought. I was on Tinder for 6 days and then I met Adrian IRL, not on Tinder, and then I deleted it.
Yeah, I had a similar experience where I have a similar experience. I've been on Tinder for 6 years and I'm going to die alone.
Yeah, sorry. All right, I'm really sorry.
So close. It's close. This time, throw it. And he'll fetch. Don't make me bite you.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of The Shaggy Dog from across the interwebs. All right. So,
it's the review that funny.
These reviews are fantastic. Right? So the first one's from Hair Bear, who gives it 5 stars. And they say, "This movie gave me an erection."
They've got a thing for caged, greased up, shot from the nipples Tim Allen, yeah.
Well, who doesn't? My God. So Fitz gives it 5 stars, and they say, "I am immensely under the influence. My rating may not be accurate."
And what did they give it?
5 stars.
I could see this being like, I think Stone, this film would either be hilarious or terrifying. It won't be anything in between that, though.
I don't know how you get past the, like, the poster for the film, because that's like nightmare fuel. The like human eyes on the dog face, yeah, looking terrified.
And there was a frame in that movie that was that, and it was awful. Like, I couldn't even look at the screen. So the next one's from Heckhead, who gives it 5 stars, and they say, "Haven't even seen it, but judging from the poster, it's safe to say this is my favorite film of all time."
Oh my god!
But then they edited it, and they said, "Edit. Didn't realize the dog was played by Tim Allen. Fuck this movie."
I was going to say, I would never rate a film without seeing it. Like, not even like the new Sofia Coppola movie that's about Priscilla Presley, which is like literally tailor-made for me. I would never be like, 5 stars without seeing it.
I saw a film was like rated by their brother, but the director's brother being like, "My brother made this, and I'm like, I love it." And so I went, "Oh," and I gave it 5 stars.
Lily gives it 0.5 star, and they say, "Kristen Davis pretending to be attracted to Tim Allen is the most powerful acting I've
Oscar
ever seen."
Oscar worthy, for sure, yeah.
And finally, Wynn gives it 1 star, and they say, "Tim Allen looks like he will eat a baby." I love that the internet has united on their opinion on him.
Yeah.
It's great.
"Mr. Forrester said they were making mutant animals, and that's where I found Shaggy. And Shaggy bit Dad. Oh, Daddy!"
Okay, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we've made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is Danny Glover, who is also in this film. We forgot to hot or not him. But I'm assuming we're all going to give him hots, yeah?
Yeah, he's the best.
We also didn't give Rhea Seehorn.
Rhea Seehorn?
Yeah, she's in. She was the assistant.
Ah, from, do we Better know Call her Saul? From other things? Ah, I don't watch that. Ah.
From what? What is she from?
Better Call Saul?
I haven't seen it either. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Never mind.
I need to reduce stress in my life. I feel like, is that going to stress me out?
I don't know. It's like if you liked more of Bob Odenkirk in Breaking Bad, then it's, you know, it's a shifty lawyer having fun adventures and schemes.
Is it as stressful as Breaking Bad?
Towards the end.
That broke me, Breaking Bad. I just never want to revisit that feeling ever again. TV
well, anyway, guys,
like
back to my recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought we were talking about the Shaggy DA.
Well, anyway, we weren't talking about Shaggy DA. We're talking about the Shaggy,
DA.
Anyway.
Broke me.
Anyway, my connection is Daddy Glover. So
what
I'm recommending.
In? Sorry, I'm joking.
The movie that we just watched. Anyway.
Again, kind of like, why would you even bother?
Yeah, why
yeah, it
get
a
him
nothing
in for
role.
This? Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, Paul, what's your recommendation?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm recommending another thing that he did in 2017, which was a HBO comedy special called Tour de Pharmacy. Have either of you guys watched this?
When you say a comedy special, like his own thing.
No, so
like Donald Glover does comedy.
It was
like,
part of, no, so HBO
100% would watch.
Women be shopping.
What?
Just trying to think of like he would do.
So in 2016 and 2017, Andy Samberg made these two comedy specials for
what?
HBO, which were kind of like mockumentary sports films. So the first one was about tennis.
Yes.
And this one was
I watched that with you, Paul.
Cycling.
Yeah.
Yes. So this one stars like pretty much every famous person on earth. So I'm going to say the cast list. And this should be enough of like a selling point to who have it, for the people who haven't watched it. So Andy Samberg, Orlando Bloom, Freddie Highmore, Nathan Fielder, David Diggs, John Cena, James Marsden, Maya Rudolph, Danny Glover, Mike Tyson, Julia Armand, Jeff Goldblum, Lance Armstrong, Dolph Lundgren, Kevin Bacon. And you could just keep going. Like, there's everyone in the, is
yeah,
in this
nice.
Film. And so I remember loving it. So I thought I'll just watch a bit of it to remind myself. And
I think I have seen it. I think I watched both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're both fantastic. This one is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. No, I have seen it. So Yeah,
I ended up watching the whole thing again and laughing my ass off the whole way through. It is so funny. It's a parody of those like sports documentaries, like the 30 for 30s kind of thing. And it's about a year of the Tour de France where every single person competing was on drugs.
A la Lance Armstrong, yeah.
Yeah, and Lance Armstrong is in it playing himself, and it's quite funny.
And they don't, like, blur him out properly?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, I have seen it, yeah.
True. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, highly recommend. It goes for 38 minutes, very easy watch, and it's, yeah, one of the funniest things you'll watch. Definitely seek it out. It's so good.
What's Andy Samberg done for us lately?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen him in anything.
Probably just rolling around in his money and, like, making out with his hot wife.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, he was a voice in Spider-Man. He seems to be doing lots of voice
work. I feel like
work.
He's due for something. Give us a little bit of Samberg. Come on.
I mean, last year he was in the Chippendale movie, which was very, very good. But
movie?
Yeah, the Chippendales. The Lonely Island did a Chippendales movie, like the Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
We're talking about different things, yeah.
Yeah, not like the strippers.
Yeah.
the
like,
animated
that tracks
chipmunks.
That Paul would watch that.
Yeah. but yeah. All right, Lucy, what's yours?
Imagine if there was an animated movie about the Chippendales to strippers. Sorry, what was that?
What's make my recommendation?
Yes.
So my connection is Kristen Davis. Kirsten Davis?
Yes. Kristen Davis, yeah.
I was going to say Stuart. I just was having a total brain fart. it's the Twilight movie. No, so I'm doing season two of And Just Like That. Joking. I'm not really. Even though I thought it was great and everyone should watch it. And
great. Great.
Yes. It was essential viewing.
It.
Shut up. It was essential viewing. I won't say bad words about it. I know what its limitations are. It just let it take care of you. Just everyone needs to just chill out. It's like, we all get it. You're the coolest girl in school because you fucking ragged on And Just Like That. Anyway, it's not actually what I'm doing. I just wanted to start the conversation.
It'll be like
it'll
be like the new, like not the new Star Wars, but the 2000 Star Wars films.
How like, it was like, dare you? How dare you? Attack of the Clones. Wait, no, Phantom Menace.
But
how
everyone
dare
thinks
you
they're so good now. So I'm just saying, And Just Like That will be like
the Clone
Wars.
Do people think they're good? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, all the kids do. All the kids.
Yeah, now the kids that grew up with it now love it.
Oh, yeah, people love it. Intergalactic diplomacy movies, whatever the fuck. They're so,
anyway,
so boring.
But hear me
this
out.
Is good,
I
Paul.
Will
you
give
can
Brendan
put Star Wars hashtags in the thing for this movie, for this episode, I mean.
Can we get out of the weeds?
Hear me out. Hear me out, though. Brendan's argument.
Hold on, that's where we were up to.
Yeah.
Everyone, my recommendation is that's what Paul was doing.
So Paul wanted to insult me. Paul?
No, I'm going to say, I'm going to back you up, Brendan,
oh, okay.
Because Che Diaz is the Jar Jar Binks of And Just Like That.
And
so
I just want to say
there
that
is
this
an analog.
A disservice. Like, I don't want to just hate on the character of Che Diaz. I just think they're badly written. Like, they deserve
yes.
better.
Yeah. And no, it's totally the fault
that
of the showrunner.
That being said, watch that fucking show and give us more seasons or I'm going to die.
Well, it's anyway. Been renewed. It's been renewed. It's
yes,
fine.
Yes, good.
So I should watch it?
No, it's not for you.
No,
it's not
it
for
isn't
you.
For you. And you'll hate it and you'll
well,
be so mean
to me. Well,
it
sounds like you're saying I'm not allowed.
I won't be able to deal with it because you'll be like poking plot holes and all the rest. And I just can't have that. Anyway, my fucking recommendation is I'm doing a podcast, which I have a terrible feeling I've
know,
done before. I'm recommending a podcast, not ours. Have I done this before? It's called Sentimental Garbage.
Yes.
Oh, no. Why?
It was probably a dog film, right?
What was the connection? How did I do it?
I don't know, but I remember, this is the one where they talk about Sex and the City, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't do any more homework. I tried to
You should have been
Googling,
more prepared, like me.
Just recommend it again. Just give us.
So it's hosted by these two authors who are awesome, and they've got this podcast. Well, it's one of their podcasts, but they do like a little sub-series on Sex and the City, and they've just done another one for they did the first season of Just Like That, so maybe that's it's different. But you know, the podcast is about bits of pop culture that everyone wants you to feel ashamed of, i.e. the conversation that just went on, but things that you actually just love and that just make you feel better and that have things that you should love about them, even though there's many things you could criticize. And I just love the way they just delve into all of it, and it's so good. And Sentimental Garbage, love it.
Awesome.
And sorry, I'm sorry that I've done it before.
So good. I think, like, the fact that they've covered something new, I think is worthy of re-mentioning.
Yeah,
it,
and so. Guys, I really did start Googling, and I Googled the kid, like, did the IMDb, the kid from that movie who I thought was in 2 and a Half Men. I just, like, mushed him together with another child actor, and I just got so mad being like, I don't want to fucking read this guy's IMDb. So I'm doing Sentimental Garbage.
Also, the kid from 2 and a Half Men has gone, like, off the deep end.
What, was he at January 6th?
No. Oh,
that's always
that.
My, like, go-to. mainly because, like, you know that singer Ariel Pink? How he was at fucking January 6th? You're not allowed to like him anymore. And he got dropped from his record label, and then all those right-wing people were like, come on, everyone, let's listen to Ariel Pink on Spotify. It's, like, too funny. Yeah.
Nah, the kid from 2 and a Half Men has gone, like, full religious and, like, has denounced everything he's ever made, saying it was all, like, too raunchy and that he, like, no one should watch it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I think that makes him more redeemable because that show was so shit.
Once I was at
Yeah, but he's not hating on it for the right reasons.
Once I was at Lissing, which is a very famous karaoke bar where we live, the first time I ever went there, I met this fun gay guy. Had a great time, and then a few years later, I saw him there again, and he was, like, wearing a suit, la, 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 and we got to talking, and he was like, oh, you know, I remember you from whatever, you sung Alanis Morissette, whatever, and I was like, yeah, and you had that beautiful boyfriend. He goes, I'm actually not gay anymore, and have you heard the word of Jesus Christ, and la, la, la. I was like, oh, I'm gonna look at the time. Like, it was really full on. It's like some conversion therapy. Like, it was, whoa. Yeah.
What was he doing at Lissing as well?
He was trying to get into politics. He was trying to get into politics. It was, yeah. You don't really see that.
Like, I think he was backsliding. Wow. There was from my time at Lissing, there was a lot of gay guys.
Yeah. Because it was used to be down the road from the gay club. So that's why end up there afterwards.
And they love to watch me sing.
If you at any given night you can see Paul there singing So Yesterday, so yeah.
So Brendan, what's your recommendation?
Why did I tell that story? I literally have no idea why I still that because the 2 and a Half Men. I'm back baby.
Look, we've really run over time, so and I didn't prepare for this segment. So
you could have been Googling the whole Lissing story.
I was really captivated by it.
I was pretty far out.
I'm going to do the truth about Cats and Dogs. They had, like, Uma Thurman in it.
Yeah.
And that
what's the connection?
That dogs. Funny lady?
Come dogs. On, Paul.
Oh, dogs are the connection. Truth yeah. about cats are dogs.
And
yeah,
who?
Okay.
Janine
Garofalo.
Garofalo, yeah. Yeah. Garofalo. I can't remember the film, but it was pretty. I remember liking it. For sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So you're going to recommend something you don't remember on the assumption that it might be okay.
It's a 100
hey, if I can recommend a podcast in a Paul tenuous insane. Film recommendation thing twice, he can. We're giving him Truth About Cats and Dogs. That's fine. It is a good movie, I think, from memory.
I don't recommend
it. I literally rewatched the thing I recommended. Just saying. Just fucking saying.
Oh, well, la-di-da, with all your spare time to just willy-nilly watch a movie.
Oh, well.
The last
it went
movie
for 38 minutes, Paul.
Was Oppenheimer. I don't know how I'm connecting Oppenheimer, and I don't care for people to watch Oppenheimer, so there you go.
Anyway.
I just want to see the Barbie movie.
Yeah, me too.
It's out. You can watch it at home now.
Yes, and I've got the projector for the deck. I'm having a Barbie night. You're all invited. Maybe not, Brendan. But.
Nice.
Why aren't I invited? Like, I might not be on a come.
Girls,
but
you
can invite
you know?
Me. I'll be a Ken.
It literally was just going to be the girls and Paul, and it was like, you have to wear pink and everything. Imagine if I did just invite you.
Ever since I gotten bitten by my dog, things changed. Everything's different and my life is not the same. I must have been infected when it bit me on my hand.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every Body Swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put the Shaggy Dog on our lists? I am going to put it in between Super Cool and Jack Frost. I think this and Jack Frost would be a good pairing of fucking awful bad dad movies.
So where is that? Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Weirdly, where I was looking to put it is exactly at the same point in the list, but in between The Big Fix and The Christmas Swap. Why is this like, why would you pair this with a Christmas movie? That's weird. But that's where I'm putting it. not as good as Velocipasta, but better than Sam. But, oh boy.
So many awful movies. Brendan.
Mine's going between Brave and The Heckler.
Fuck, we've all put it on very similar spots on our list. Yeah. Like,
but The Heckler just felt right, so.
Oh, The Heckler. Yeah. Oh, God. That's unlocked a core trauma memory.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. So, next episode, we will be covering something that I've actually had a few people reach out to me and say, oh, this is a Body Swap. You guys should do it.
It's the Santa Claus. No, what is it?
Recently, the new season of Black Mirror was released, and episode 3 of season 6, which is the newest season, was a movie-length episode, which was apparently a Body Swap. So it's called Beyond the Sea. It stars Aaron Paul, speaking of Breaking Bad, Kate Mara, and Josh Hartnett.
That's a bunch of hotties.
In an alternative 1969, two men on a perilous high-tech mission wrestle with the consequences of an unimaginable tragedy.
But guys, will I understand it if I haven't seen any of the other 6 seasons of Black Mirror?
Yeah, because they started like connecting them and stuff. They ruined it?
This is a standalone thing, so you'll be fine. Like every episode of Black Mirror should be a standalone.
I look forward to complaining about the new Black Mirror. At least in the next episode.
I feel like that's why I've avoided it. The people just really, you know, those people.
So you've not even seen the Miley Cyrus episode?
Nothing. Not a thing. I shall not be moved, my friend, except for if my podcast forces me to do it. Game of Thrones? Okay. No. I choose my own destiny. I will not be convinced.
You sound like somebody who went to January 6th.
So We made it. We made it through an episode. Woo-hoo. After all this time.
Guys, I am going to need help with, I don't know how to upload it to the cloud. Yeah. I can't remember how to do it.
Well, hopefully that will work and this episode will go out.
Shit, I forgot to
listening to us right now.
But thanks again for listening, listeners, and sticking with us. Even after this long break. If you like the fact that we're back, send us a message to say that you appreciate it, because we appreciate that.
And list specifics.
Yeah, say what you like.
Is truly like the strongest member.
Tell us what we can cut.
Yeah. So, until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW. And review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Oh. That was my turn.
That was bad.
Very, very good. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.